time.
Okay, we're switching over to English here.
Yes. Do you,
I have just one question, and I want a one-word answer really quick. Are you having fun?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, cool. I am.
Wow, nice.
My brain is still... Why did we speak in Dutch for 50 minutes before we recorded?
We should just do... We can do a podcast in Dutch someday. We should. That'd be fun. Why not?
Yeah, for my one Dutch audience member. No, two, I think. No, I think one is Dutch and the other one is Dutch speaking, but not originally Dutch.
Oh, okay.
So
oh,
yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah,
that was fun. Yeah, I don't know why we just started off in Dutch.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're like the only person I speak Dutch with, and it's so funny because you're not Dutch. You're just
that
there.
Is...
You just happen to be there.
Wow. Okay, so that kind of falls into what we're not going to talk about, which is
that's the other
living...
topic we decided not to talk about today.
That we decided, but I'm going to put a teaser out there because this is what I really want to talk about next time, and that is living in other countries, your identity when you move to another country. And what reasons? You put it really well. You said it in Dutch. You said, "Op de vlucht of op zocht."
Oh yes, I said.
What would that be?
I said, "What are you fleeing from? Or what are you looking for? What are you searching for?"
Yeah,
that's a question
nice.
That has been with me for a long time.
Yeah,
and I still don't know whether I'm fleeing from something or whether I'm looking for something, or maybe the two can go together.
Yeah. Oh. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
like
maybe
fun
they're
because
not.
It's so because I'm like, my academic background is in philosophy, feminist philosophy.
Oh, no way.
But I tuned that out, like a great part of my time. I tuned that out because I left the academy for, academia 5 years ago. But
okay.
When you started asking, like you basically said, I'm thinking of this project. And that just, it ripped open my entire, like that part of my brain that I don't often tend to. So
yeah.
like everything
yeah.
came out. Yeah. But I do think about these things, but not in depth as we talked about before. We probably should have recorded that conversation as well.
We should have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our past hour
yeah.
in Dutch
yeah.
for the two Dutch people who would listen.
We can translate that. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can make some subtitles. Yeah.
But it's related, not but. So in improv comedy, you shouldn't use the word but. You say yes. And
because
really
everything is related, I think.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, I think part of my life, I've been looking for how is everything I'm in. I wasn't like, I was like, what am I doing? Like, am I doing this? Am I doing that? Am I doing that?
Yeah.
And every time I find myself on a crossroads, like in hindsight, I realize it's all the same thing. Even the particular feminist philosopher that I was studying when I was still at the university, with half my PhD finished, I quit halfway through my PhD and I left for Cyprus.
Yeah.
I come back and I'm like, but that feeds so much into like the way I coach and the way I see the world and the way I see human interaction and stuff like that. So it's like, it's all part, but for a long time, I was like, I need to make a choice. Right? Like, am I doing this? Am I doing that? And I'm like, no, but it's all the same thing. For me, it's all the same thing in the end. But when you're in it, when you're like, you're on that crossroads and you're just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then afterwards you're like, oh, wait, that was actually all the same thing. Doesn't really matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I understand it's not but, it's and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some really nice quotes, sort of like very Abraham Hicks, and only a few people are going to understand that reference. But I do. Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. And so it's all of those things that led up to where you are now. You know, and this is a difficult concept, I believe, but I'm thankful for all of those things because it got me to where I am now. And where I am now is kind of, this one's also kind of difficult, but this is today is exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not just a difficult concept, it's a difficult thing to embrace, especially on the good days. I'm vibing that, but on the bad days I'm like, and then breathing in and going back and saying, this is probably exactly where I need to be right now. So maybe try to not to work myself up over this.
Yeah.
But that's the hard part. Like on the good days, it's easy.
Right? You know, you just said something too. You just said like where I am right now. So I was listening to her the other day and she said, Esther Hicks, for those who want to be precise about it. And she said, and people who don't know what we're talking about, go look it up. And then you'll just see where we're.
Go to YouTube.
Yeah.
And you'll find it out and you'll be, what the hell is this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then at some point in your enlightenment, you will say, aha, now I understand what she and he or whoever are talking about. Yeah. But she had a thing that I am thinking about again. And she had something she said, and I love when she repeats things. She's really good at repeating. And she'll say, but the thing I really want you to know is that you can get from where you are now to wherever you want to go. And what I really want to say is you can get from where you are now to wherever you want to go. But the most important part about what I'm saying is you can get from where you are now to wherever you want to go. Right? So she says this thing like three times and you're like, I'm waiting for the but. Where's the big but? And then she says, as soon as you are okay with where you are now.
And that is one of the main lessons I've learned.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my life. Yeah. And it's a hard one because some days are crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
that's just a fact. So it's noticing that and then going back to, okay, wait, what energy do I want to put out? And I think the highest vibration is gratitude.
Yeah.
So find things. And I'm really like a lot of the times I'm really bad at this. I know it in practice. Doesn't mean I actually practice it, right?
Yeah.
But finding when you find yourself in that, like find things that you are extraordinarily grateful for. And that can be, that doesn't have to mean a big thing. That can be, at this point, my cats are healthy. Or my cat, like I have cats. You have dogs.
I have one dog. Yeah.
Dog. Or for example, I can get really, I have a vision of where I want to live and what, like I'm living in somebody else's home, a friend's home, right?
Okay.
So I don't really feel rooted here because it's their stuff. It's their furniture. It's like, it's my novel outline on the back, but that's it. It's their color on the walls. I can't change anything, right? And that messes with me sometimes because I really like creating a sort of safe, sacred space around me. And that's hard to do when you are in a place that's so obviously not yours. So I have my days that I'm like, but then like grateful that in this particular economy, I get to live, I have friends that allow me to live in their house for, I think, probably half the rent they could get for it in this particular, in Cyprus, in this economy. That is also, that is not even a minor thing to be grateful for. That sort of drums, my cats are being fed and my cats are being healthy, right? It's like, just because one person thinks I'm a good person, that's why they sort of gave me their house to live in with my cats. Because I had to move, long story, I had to move because of the cats, right? And they were like, live in our house. We are hardly there.
Wow.
It's fine. Wow. And I'm like, so it's not just being grateful for that, but I had a hard time accepting that generosity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that is, it's not just when you talk about Abraham Hicks and Esther Hicks, it's not just being okay with where you are, but it's also when you look at where you want to be, knowing that you deserve that, that you're worthy of that.
Yeah. Wow.
I think that has definitely been I think that is still a struggle for me.
Yeah.
That whole, who am I? Who am I to want this or to deserve this or.
Well, and then as you just said the word receive, because that's a hard one, I find.
Receive is very hard for me.
I'm here and somebody's here and they're going to offer me this thing. And I'm thank you. I'm so, I have such gratitude. Yay. But am I going to go so far to actually receive? And we're not necessarily talking about just a, you know, house or money or something like that, something like tangible. But can I receive that I'm worthy enough to do
Yeah.
that or to go there.
Yeah, so can I receive that when they see me, they see someone who deserves this?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that is even
Wow.
harder than saying, wow, did I get lucky with these friends?
Yeah, yeah,
Right?
yeah.
It's more that they've told me time and again, because of Brexit and stuff, it's hard for them to be here full time, right? So they at one point were like, let's just, we'll start our life up again in England. And, you know, if you pay us rent, then we go for holidays, right? We'll come for a couple of weeks and it's fine. And then knowing that they're very much like, if it hadn't been me, they would not have offered this to anybody else. It's just me.
Wow.
And that is a big thing. It's like, for them, I am that special.
Yeah.
That they want to give this to me. And like, I don't live here, like I said, I don't live here rent free, right? But I pay, like, I think I pay about half of what it could be worth.
Yeah.
It's a big place. So that is the thing, like, I think, and that is the hardest part. Like, if I hadn't been in need of a home at that time, this place would be empty.
Yeah.
So that is the thing for me. Like, that is hard. Like, that is much harder for me to receive than just, oh, well, you know, so now I give them rent, so at least they're making something, like they're making some money with this empty house. It's more about the gesture comes not from them being, oh, you know what, we can sort of, you know, earn a little bit of money from this house that's sitting there empty. They didn't care about that. What they cared about was that I, as a person who they care about, is being looked after and gets what she needed in the moment. And that is, for me, still very hard to receive. Yeah. Yeah. But that vibration, if you can be in that vibration,
yeah,
like that is, I think, the stuff that Abraham Hicks, Esther Hicks, that's what they talk about. That
yeah.
Gratitude and that level of receiving.
You know, from a like a book perspective, I always had a hard time. I probably still do. With I write some book. It has some information or education or entertainment or whatever. And somebody buys it and they are thankful, maybe even grateful that I shared this so that they can receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like you said earlier, my worthy enough that this is kind of, I'm going into like a reverse meta conversation here, but that they receive, and then can I receive their gratitude for me creating this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle with that, I think. Still, I still think, oh, this won't entertain anybody or help anybody. Or, and, you know, like you say, you have good days, bad days. In bad days, like, oh, who would ever read this? Why would they ever do that? Who would ever even pay me for something like this? How could I possibly help someone? Right, especially nonfiction book guy, mostly. But or
yeah,
for
so, and that's for
fiction.
Me as well. Yeah, because I write mostly. I'm working. This is my novel outline back here. So I am working on fiction, but what I have out now is mostly nonfiction.
Yeah.
But this is imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have that actually. So this is for me, and this keeps tripping. It's really funny because I'm, as a coach who works with people who have imposter syndrome, and like me, it's like, I think I know, like, I can coach them because I know exactly what it feels like.
Yeah.
And
but if you didn't know, if you had never known, you had never experienced it, and you couldn't connect
there
with
is no
them.
There's no understanding.
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly where they're coming from. I know exactly why they struggle setting up certain boundaries around what they want and what they think they deserve and what they think their soul wants them to do in this lifetime. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, because I struggle with that. And when I look back, I'm like, I got quite far. I'm absolutely not done, right? I don't think I'm even halfway on my own path, but I did a lot of work when I look back. But I was thinking, so my recent book, it's not out yet, but I recently did the Kickstarter. And I remember, so this is, I published my first nonfiction book like 6 days after we went to Edinburgh, the 20 books conference and writing retreat, right? And the reason I did it, because everybody I met there was like, this, you're doing amazing work. You need to publish this. So that sort of gave me, I don't know, do you remember me sitting in the corners of the castle with my tarot cards and the reading cards for people who were struggling with their author questions? My first two books were tarot related and specifically for writers and other creative people, right? That's kind of my, that's one of my niches. So the reason I published, so one of them, the first book I published was like a tarot challenge. And the only reason I was even entertaining the idea of publishing that when I came to Edinburgh was because a friend of mine had said, an author friend had said, oh, you should publish this, like a nice little book for people to have. And I'm like, you can't be serious, because tarot challenge, there are like, you know, a dime a dozen on Instagram. Like, you don't, people don't pay for this, right? Yeah. But she's like, who cares? That nobody has done it before doesn't mean that you should not do yours. So for me, even so, I've just published, or I'm in the middle of publishing, the Kickstarter was for my sixth tarot challenge, and I still struggle with that. It's like, and the thing is, I do it on free on Instagram as well. Like, every time I publish one, I first do it on Instagram for free, and then I publish the book, and for some reason people buy the book. I don't know why that is, but they do, right? But this sort of inherent, it's not worthy, because it's such a small thing. And I also, people can do it for free. Literally, they can find me on Instagram and I do it for free. But this sort of inherent unworthiness of this particular book that I publish, the thing is that it keep for me, I've had like my reviews are like incredibly, like I get really good reviews on my stuff generally, right? I think the only bad reviews I get is when I realize that people didn't read the blurb before they bought the book. So they're disappointed, but that is because they expected something of the book isn't. That is not something I can help you with. I'm very clear in the blurb what you get. Okay?
Yeah.
And that happens to me sometimes as well. I buy a book and I'm like, hey, and then I look at the back and I'm like, oh, wait, I didn't really read that well. Okay, but that's my problem, so I don't leave a review. Because I'm like, I didn't do my homework before I bought this thing. But I recently had, I'm doing this Kickstarter. I didn't expect much of this Kickstarter because inherent idea, right? This is not a worthy project. So the only reason I did the Kickstarter is because I saw it as an opportunity to do a special Kickstarter only edition for once. I've never done that before. Right, like doing a book that you can only get on Kickstarter. I'm like, let's see what happens, right? That's kind of my approach to my business. Just let's see what happens.
Yeah.
My work might not.
I love that. I do that.
Yeah, it's very scary, but that's sort of like, there's a lot of joy in there and there's a lot of fear in there.
Yeah.
And the thing was with this one, like, because I believe that there is no inherent worth in these particular books that I do, is that when people message me to tell me how much it's helping them, I'm always sort of like, what? Like like it shocks me when it's very well received. And it's fine if it's people I know, right? Because my challenge is people I know do them, right? But with this particular one, I had someone approach me on Instagram like halfway through the challenge. And she was like, I want to let you know. And so this is interesting, just, it's going to sound like I'm going all up, but I'll come back. This is also one of the other struggles with this book, is that it's kind of slightly outside of my brand / niche, because usually I write nonfiction for either writers and other creative people. So creative people in general or writers specifically. And when I was creating this challenge, I sort of felt like, no, I want to create something that everybody can use. But that felt sort of, you know, that I had this struggle, like, because that doesn't fit. Yeah. But it felt really wrong to put like the creative aspect in this challenge. So I didn't do it. So then this person messages me on Instagram and tells me that they are trying to get sober.
Yeah.
And they're halfway through the challenge. And just, so this is not about a creative thing. This is about getting sober. And she just had to, I don't know this person. She had to message me to tell me halfway through the challenge how much it's helping her already staying sober. And then I'm like then that's worth it. Then I'm done. Yeah. I've done, like, I'm like, have I done what I needed to do? Yes. But now I want the next step, saying, so that this helped someone means that there is that I can attach monetary value to the product. And it doesn't mean I have to like sell it for $900 because it helps right. someone get sober, right? Or yeah. it supports, yeah. no, because I charge like for the ebook, like $299 or something in dollars, right?
Yeah.
But that's my last step, I think, that I can then I can see the value. But if like people tell me this has really changed me, this has changed me for the better. And then being okay with, okay, so I this is something that people can get for free. But then I also put like a monetary value on it.
Yeah.
And then being okay with receiving it when people sell it. Because every time I sell one, I'm still like, really? Really? And I'm like, that's not the kind of energy. That's not really, but I'm sure you can understand the feeling. Yeah. Like, really?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even if it's just a couple of,
yeah,
like euros, dollars.
So it's interesting. I just got, I had two reviews on my audiobook from my most popular book at some point. And one of the reviews was, I don't care what this guy is writing about. If I listen to one more minute of his voice, I'm gonna, you know, kill somebody, right? And something like that, some terrible thing. And then there's another, it's like right around the same time. And then somebody else says, it was so weird how similar they were. Something like, I don't care what this guy writes about, I'm gonna listen to everything he writes. And I love it all, right? And so back to what you're saying about the sober person. So we don't know who we're going to connect with.
It's resonance.
Yeah.
But
and
I
so,
think,
but if we don't put out that vibration,
yes,
go back to Abraham. If we don't put out that vibration, then we're never going to connect with anybody. I mean, I love because she talks about the radio dial. I have like an entire chapter on the radio dial. The radio dial is to 95.7, and so I am a radio transmitting beacon. And I'm going to transmit my message or my book or my tarot card or my whatever at 95.7. And then that's the ideal frequency for somebody who really wants to connect. And yeah. so I'm going to do that. But if they are at 92.5, we might not even find each other, which is fine. We're different frequencies. That's fine. Yeah. But if I get somebody at 95.5, and they're here and they think, oh, wait, what's that's kind of cool. What's that? And then if I can maybe get them up to here or they yeah. get up to there and then we connect, then it's a delight. But if I don't transmit, yeah. if you don't create the thing, you don't have the Kickstarter, you don't create the book, then you're never going to know, for one. And sure, there's people who are not going to connect. That's fine. And they think you're terrible.
But I think, but we focus on that. We focus on those people who are like, what is this? Oh, God, no.
Yeah, right? yeah.
But let's be honest. How often do we have that, oh, God, no, moment with people?
Yeah.
Right? That is, and are we, like, that is, we don't assume that that person cares. So why would we care that, because it's resonance. It's like,
yeah.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that people yeah. know what your message is and whether or not they want to
yeah.
have more of them.
Yeah.
Because if you're vague,
yeah,
you're not attracting the right audience.
Yeah. Or if you're trying to please, like, I'm back to the radio tower, and my radio tower is, it's kind of fuzzy, but I get from 93.3
you have like a wide
97.9.
Range.
I have a wide range, but it's kind of fuzzy and it doesn't really come in clearly. Or at least I get a lot of people.
Yeah, but there's a lot of static.
No. Yeah, so, there's a lot of static.
So people are like, what is he doing? Is this?
Yeah. Yeah. And even the people who I would have met directly, they have the static too. It's like, I think I really like this stuff, but I don't know. It's just not coming
I
in.
I can't really hear it through. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, so I'm all for that, but that doesn't mean that that's not something I struggle with myself.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I see it in almost everyone I work with.
Yeah.
Like, and I even had it because I, okay, so when I, so I do a lot of things, and I'm currently editing the outline of someone. And so as when I work through, when I do edits on someone, I will tell people like, oh, I really love this, right? But I always, I don't know why this is, but I always forget to do like an overall, I really like the gen, I love the general idea. I think it is because as it is, I cannot tell where the author is going with it. So I cannot tell you yet whether I'm going to love the final product.
Yeah.
Right? So I had this author and we were sort of chatting in a sort of, you know, I done my part and then the author did her part. And now what's the next part in our club, in us working together on this book, me working through her outline. And she's like, but did you like the book? Like, did you like the general? So this is what we want to hear,
yeah.
right? We
yeah,
want to, yeah. we want, so I think the thing is that we want to hear, we want to have confirmed that that what we're transmitting, right? That there is at least one person who meets us there. Because if you're just transmitting and you never get that feedback. I would say it's still worth it, right? If you're transmitting from like, you know, where you are and what you want to be and what you want, but it can take a while before you get that feedback. And I'm all for internal validation versus external validation, but that doesn't mean that it can take that one person to say, I love this. Thank you. You're helping to save me.
Yeah.
That you just go, for me, that's often when I had doubts, that just comes in and I'm like, and that's it. We're doing the Kickstarter. We're just going to see if we can sell this book.
Yeah.
Let's just see what happens. I have one person who believes in me and who was really, who found this really helpful. So, like, must be more people.
On that note, because one thing, one reason we're connecting is because you, did you have your 10, you had your 10 year anniversary of your business, right? Just recently.
Yes. I'm looking at the date we're recording. That was 9 days ago.
Okay. So congratulations. Okay.
Thank you.
And so related to a lot of what we're talking about, I think this is really interesting. So, because I was curious, you've been going for 10 years. How have you done that? How have you gone for 10 years? And of course, ups and downs. And is it stuff like this where you get that call from somebody who says like, thank you for doing this?
I do think so. What I want to clear, so the whole writing thing.
Yeah.
I started my business 10 years ago and the focus was editing and coaching.
Okay.
And then specifically academic editing. I was a lecturer at the University of Utrecht at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was doing a lot of thesis work with students. And I think sort of the, it's really funny, probably for other people. It's not so funny if you're in it. But to me, I experienced it as what is this? This is not a good approach to life. I tend to end up doing the things that I realize I'm good at or other people tell me I'm really good at.
Yeah.
So I got into editing because one of my good friends, she's a professional editor.
Yeah.
And she's the one who was, at one point, she wanted me to start checking her work. But I thought, why? But it was because she was trying, she had this feeling that I would be really good at it. And so she was more like trying to test me. And I was like, yeah, I mean, you're the professional editor, but I can look over this, right?
Yeah.
And it was because I was always complaining to her that when I was reading students' theses and papers and stuff like that, I struggled reading the content if there were too many, if the order of the logic was like missing, right? So content-wise, like how do you build your arguments, which relates to plot, of course, like is everything in the right order for a reader to sort of, you know, go with it or be like, what's happening? But also like the interpunction, the spelling, this stuff. So I was complaining to her. So she was going, okay, so you have a real eye for that. So she was secretly testing me to see whether I could actually. So she was sort of giving me tests. And at one point she was like, okay, I've been looking at this for a while now. I think you should do this professionally. And so that was completely out of the blue for me. But it was because she was like, you know, like she's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And she was like, I look at your work. And there's maybe one or two things that I would change.
Wow.
So maybe you should do this. So that's kind of how I went. And I started off focusing on academic stuff because that was kind of my area at the time, right? Like that's what I was doing. And I was also coaching student, like through their writing, I always got the compliment that, you know, I was one of those few teachers who actually left like useful constructive comments and try to help them figure out what is it that you actually want to write about and why is this your passion, instead of just how can we get to a passing grade, like what it, like dig deeper, right? That's always been my thing, and they were always very grateful. So that's how some students, even if they weren't particularly a fan of the topic I was teaching, they still ended up in my courses because they were like it's great to be, at least we learn how to write better papers, even if we don't really care about this particular feminist course that you're doing right now, right? Yeah. Which is an interesting situation. So initially I started out doing that, right? So editing, coaching, very much focused on academia. But at the same time, so that same year, I started coming out of the closet as a writer. It was the first time I admitted to a friend that I was writing fiction in secret, right? So gradually, I started working more on that as well. Like doing, because there's a bit of a difference, and I did, like, I took some workshops and stuff, like the difference between like editing, like things like academic writing and nonfiction and fiction, right? There's a little bit of difference there. And then so that started happening, and then you know, you just realize you're good at it. And how do I realize I'm good at it? Because it's like my friends are writing novels. I'm like, let me look at your novel. And then they're like, this is like the best feedback I've ever had. Like, okay, this is something I'm good at. Okay, let's keep doing that. And then, you know, and then at one point, one of my friends said, like, why don't you coach fiction authors? Because we sit together every 6 weeks and you talk me through my novel. Wow. And it's really useful. And she had done some really expensive thing in London for a while, like thousands and thousands of euros, where you're like guided through the novel writing process and you meet agents and stuff like that. And she's like, I like your feedback is much more in depth than what I've gotten through that really expensive course. And all I give you is tea and cookies. So maybe you should include this. Like, maybe you should. So that's of my, sort of my, how my business like developed is more like, there's people who are like, I think you're really good at this thing. Let's try it. And I do it, and I do it for free a couple of times. And it's like, oh, you're really good at this. And then I include it as a service. It's also how I started doing blurb writing. Like a guy I know, he owns a publishing house. He's like, I get the feeling you're really good at this. So do you want to do you want to be my apprentice? So I was his apprentice for 2 years, And then he was like, I'm cutting you loose now, do whatever you want. And that's how I developed my blurb writing service. So it's all these things, like, it's really interesting how that developed.
But it's also like, and it's like we were saying earlier, it's, you're putting it out there. You're, hey, let me take a look at your novel. Hey, I can work on that blurb, and you see, and then you get the feedback. Cause if the feedback was, you're terrible at this, you should become a, you know, carpenter. Then that, well, that's a learning experience too. That's advice too. And then you wouldn't pursue it.
Probably. And that doesn't really happen. So I see there's like sort of synchronicity. The blurb writing also came from 20 books to 50K when I sat down next to someone and I basically, there were people like they're working on each other's blurb in like a circle, and it was like the last day and we had to wait before we did the big picture at the end. And someone just dragged me down and set me down. It's like, help us, like help her. So I grabbed this person's iPad and I just started asking questions, and she just looked like a deer in headlights. And she's like, how do you know this thing? At that point, I think I've been an apprentice for like 18 months. Nobody knew I did anything with blurbs. That was just a, and she was just looking at me like, is this something you offer? And I was like, no. She said, I think maybe you should.
So we just rewrote a recurring the theme.
Yeah, that's good. And this is also, so now my coach, where I am now, my coaching has become much more spiritual. As my own spirituality developed, I gradually, very reluctantly initially, started adopting all these things. So now it's it doesn't look completely like where I am right now. I still do certain things still. Like I still work with academics. I still edit academic papers. But especially when I look at my coaching, I'm like, that has completely, I had not envisioned that when I started doing this 10 years ago. Also because I wasn't there yet. Like I wasn't doing all the I mean, I was a closeted writer, but I think I was a closeted spiritual person even more, because there was no space for that in where I grew up.
Yeah.
That was very mocked.
Have you ever read or listened to Wayne Dyer's basically autobiography called I Can See Clearly Now?
It sounds familiar, but I don't know. I haven't read it, but it sounds familiar.
So he narrates his own audiobook, which I highly recommend. It's really good. And he talks about how he started out. He's sort of a self-help guy, right? But in early on, he was much more about general stuff, kind of habits or kind of breakthrough and that kind of thing. And then only at some point he kind of did a statistical report on how many times he had mentioned the word spirituality or spirit or something like that in earlier books, and it was like zero. And then one point it was like mentioned once or twice in a book. And then later it became like the title and it was mentioned, you know, 1214 times or whatever it print in the book. And how that was also his path, because as he became more spiritual himself, he became more so in his writing as well. I highly recommend it. It's Where I Can See Clearly Now.
I feel like I'm on that path. Like I see more clearer now where I'm supposed to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is very, for the first time, I'm not scared of it, because and that is because that the spiritual aspect, like I said, I was very reluctant about that, because like I really grew up like in a household where it was mocked.
Yeah. Him too.
And that is not conducive.
No.
To feeling free to like, so then I, when I was really young, when I said I wanted to be a writer, that was mocked. I became a closeted writer. Everybody who had even a touch of spirituality, like not taken seriously. So that's how you stop yourself from looking into that. Even though those were the people I came across, right? So the person my mother was mocking, right? One of the neighbors my mother was mocking, that was one of the people, the adults, when I was like 14, 15, one of the adults I had the best conversations with. So that's very telling, of course, right?
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell my mom that I'd spent the entire afternoon in his backyard having a cup of tea and talking about the universe.
Right.
Because she was like, oh, this guy, right? And he was a Reiki master. And I'm like, what I do is like so far beyond that I'm like, I don't even think I think my mom recently kind of caught up with the work I do now, which is I do a lot of past life work.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. So that's my latest curve in the bend in the road, basically. And I think, so she kind of asked about that, and I tried to kind of explain, but that was because she sort of because I'm a Reiki master in the meantime. And she sort of, that's sort of like, I remember the moment when he passed by now, but when her best friend he was suffering from Alzheimer's and he had COVID. So he was very upset. He couldn't see his wife, who was the only person he recognized at that time. So my mom was here at the time in Cyprus. And so I basically said, like, my mom was sitting on the balcony in the sun, like reading her little iPad, like reading like NOS and Nu.nl, right? As she does. As I was like, Mom, I'm just gonna, don't think, you can come inside the house, I don't care, but I'll be sitting on the couch and I do my Reiki practice, but you don't disturb me if you come into the house, it's fine, right? I can do this. And she was like, could you send some to Henny? And I'm like, yes, I can do that. And that was, for me, it's like, that was sort of the first acceptance of anything spiritual that I've ever entertained in my life. So I was like, that was a big moment for me. And I think that helped me, you know, and now I'm at the point where I like do past life readings for people, which is way beyond that.
You know what, Maria, our problem together is that we have way too much to talk about. And now you just opened like past life regression and past life. I love this stuff. Wow. And so it's now interesting. I mean, kind of the Wayne Dyer chronologically,
Yeah, I need to write that. I always have a note because everybody always, every time I do an interview, every time I interviewed, somebody says, "Have you read this or have you seen this?" So I always have my so Wayne Dyer. I love the title, by the way. That's a
And
good
it's just
title.
like I've probably listened to it 3 times, and I always get something new out of it. It's very slow paced. It's kind of like, you can listen to a chapter a week for a while, whatever.
I read books. The audio thing is, I know you're very much into audio, but that has never, podcasts is my limit. I just get really distracted.
Maybe try a sample. I don't know. I'm a fan of
Yeah, I can
his, and I
just
like
buy
his
the book. I
voice
can
and
no, I
stuff.
can just buy the book. It's a book, right? I can buy it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a book too.
Yeah,
Yeah, it must be a book.
so I can just read it in paper or on my Kindle app. It's fine.
Okay, we are going to have I have like at least two more hit topics we can talk about that we're not going to do today. But I can see the chronology. What is that word? Chronologically,
I
chronology,
think chronology is not bad. I
is that
think,
a
yeah,
good
let's
word? All
go
right.
for it. Let's go
The
for it.
timeline of
Otherwise,
like
we'll
Wayne
add it.
Dyer.
We'll just,
Yeah, it's a
we'll
new
add
one,
it.
chronology.
Yeah.
The timeline of like Wayne Dyer going from there to there and how he grew and added spirituality into his work. And I could see that with you, I think, from what I'm seeing. Because we were kind of talking about 10 years and your business and you're still going and
Yeah,
going
and
further.
you asked me a couple of weeks ago, like, what would you say
Yeah.
to. And I would, so my advice to like me 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And I would say just go with it. And also that also to remind myself, like you're not always supposed to know where you end up. So trust. And also, so I have like, I see on the path, like when I look back, I see so much resistance because of all these ideas I had in my head about, okay, so you just pick a niche and you stick with it. And then every time something came along, I'm like, that doesn't really, like, it's like, you know, when you're like a toddler and you have like, I have this block, but it doesn't fit. And I'm finally, after 10 years, at the point that I don't even want to like make the hole bigger. So all the blocks, I just want to throw the whole thing out. So that is one, like, just go with it. Just go with it and to make sure that you understand what limiting beliefs you have. Like for me, one big thing is that you have to pick a niche and just niche and stick with it. Like it has to fit on the own branding. And now I understand that your branding can be like a really big message and then everything can fall under it, which is where I am now. Like I understand my purpose now. And I, so this is 10 years in the making, or almost 38 years in the making. And I now see how actually, and so instead of spending way too much time thinking, but how does this book fall under that? I am much more, oh wait, this is what I do. And it's all boils down to the same thing in the end. And that has given me so much peace and quiet because I've been fighting that for so long. Like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And I just figured out what I'm doing here. So why is now this showing up in my life? And I didn't understand that it's all part of a much bigger picture. But that would be advice to myself. Yeah.
That could probably be similar advice to the you of 10 years from now in the future.
Oh, yeah, because I feel right now that I'm only just getting a glimpse. It's like I say that I understand my purpose now, but I think that is just the beginning and it's just gonna get. And I did a tarot spread on like on the 10 years, right? And the card, how familiar are you with tarot? I know I
Not
read
so
your,
much.
okay, I read your cards. I still remember the card. And it was funny because the conversation that we had before, I keep thinking of this card. And that card was also, it was the Two of Wands. I remember where we were. I remember where we said, yeah. It was the Two of Wands from the Wild Unknown Tarot deck. And it was very much the how we, like, that you need. You just need to keep focus. You just need to keep going forward, and in that you need to just keep focusing, right? And in this particular card, the wand has all these sort of stubs, And while we were in Edinburgh, we were having lunch actually. And while we were in Edinburgh, so that's 5 years ago. So this is your 5 year reflection point. It was that you were already doing this sort of, I have so many things I want to do.
Yeah.
And the sort of the advice that I got from the card was, but they're all part of the same want. So it's all moving in the same. And now, just this is not recorded, but we had a very similar conversation. You want the same things that you wanted 5 years ago. I was seeing that card. So the card I got is the card I got on the question. Okay, so how can I sort of roll with all the changes that the next 10 years are going to bring me? Right, was the Tower. And the Tower card is one of the most feared cards in the tarot, because it means upheaval and uprooting. And it's basically, not in my decks, but in usual decks, it's a tower and it's on fire and people are jumping from the windows, right? But I once upon a time heard somebody say that we should never forget that the Tower is an event you invite. So often subconsciously. Right. But when the Tower shows up, it means you're ready to be, for whatever it is that the card is referring to, for it to be uprooted. So when I look back now in this conversation with you, I see all this resistance and there's a change on the path and things are changing. And I have so much resistance. But the answer is I need to become comfortable with the Tower showing up again. Okay. So I thought I was building this up and it feels like it's breaking down, but it's not that. Because it's all leading to, it's all needed to get to where I want to be, where I need to be.
Yeah.
So that was very like, there's so much more resistance because I have not embraced the Tower.
Okay.
But the Tower is just, and actually the Tower is actually one of my birth cards. So that's, I'm just making that connection now. So I'm like, that is to me, just go, just roll with it. Like just, you know, roll with the punches and just, Okay, so we're going to talk more. If you are, by the way, this is an invitation. I've done this before a couple of times. Are you really into like past life stuff?
Oh, yeah. I've done it many times.
I don't do past life regression.
Okay. I don't know what the difference is.
I do Akashic Records readings.
Okay. Okay.
So I access your Akashic Records, which are like the soul records, right? Yeah. Everything that has ever happened and will ever happen is written in the Akashic Records.
Wow.
So what I've done before with people is that I do the reading offline and then I have a call with people about what showed up.
Yeah.
So what we could do is I could read your records on a particular question, and then we can record the call. Because people have done it, they've put it out as episodes, me reading their Akashic Records.
If you're
into that, because that is where my coaching is right now. I've combined my coaching of creative people, the Akashic Records has become sort of an integral part of that.
Okay. Oh wow.
Yeah. So it used to
be
like coach.
We just added another thing we need to talk about.
No, but I used to coach people, and then if I saw that they needed it, I would be like, you know what? I can also do this thing that nobody knows about yet, because I was too afraid to let the world know that I'm that spiritual. And now it's more, so it has flipped. Now it's like, if you want to work with me, the basis is we're going to dig into your records and see what comes up.
Okay.
And then we're going to work through the struggles that you're having right now. So if you're like, because I'm like, I love doing that. So if you're like,
love it. I love
it. Okay. So that is okay. Yeah. So now we have more things. Okay.
Yeah.
We have a plan for the rest of the year.
If you can send this all to me, but if people are listening and they want to know where to find out more about the myriad of things you do,
stuff that I do,
where can they find you?
They can find me on mswordsmith.nl.
Okay. Mswordsmith.
It's going
to NL.
NL, yes.
Okay.
I did buy recently. I bought another URL, so I'm gonna. Yeah. I'm sort of rebranding myself.
Okay.
But I haven't even had the time to find like a web designer. Okay. I'm not doing it myself this time around.
Yeah.
So it will eventually change, but for now it's MSWordsmith.nl.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll send you the stuff.
Yeah. Good. Well, this has been a delight. Both of our conversations, both this recorded one and the non-recorded one in Dutch. We clearly have way too much to talk about, and this is super fun. And then what's what I love about this? Like, I had no idea the Akashic records and all that. I just that'll be super fun. That'll be next time.
Isn't it? It's so interesting how we've met 5 years ago, and how some things haven't changed and some things have been completely like, what are you up to now? Yeah, it is
Cool.
interesting.
Okay.
But this is a great way to keep a kind of tabs on each other.
It is. It is. It's a fantastic way. I love it.
Okay,
And
so I'll be
it's like
back.
weirdly public. That's kind of crazy,
That's
but
I always ignore that part.
yeah,
That's
that's
how I
good.
get through these things.
That's funny. It's a good tip. Okay,
Okay,
Marietta.
to be continued. I'll be back.
Thanks. Thanks for being here. To be continued. Till next time.